Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Fresh Atlantic salmon portions, 7-ounce farm-raised, including marinated portions, just $5.99 each. Delicious Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5, or just $1.25 each. This week's digital deal is the delicious Sumo Citrus, $2.47 per pound, limit 4 pounds. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
At the point, Vlasic turns it over. Here's a chance for Alex Tuck on a break. Tuck to the net, scores! Alex Tuck with the goal, and he's got himself a hat trick. 6-2 Buffalo.
Suddenly be there on the call. The hat trick for Tuck, his third career hat trick. That made it a 6-2 Buffalo game, and it ends up with that same 6-2 final. The goal of the game right there is brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. As we welcome you back here to the Ted Darling Memorial Press Box, Brian Colsey along with Pat Malacarl. Paul Hamilton is awaiting outside the Sabres dressing room. We're going to get some player reaction coming up. I'm sure we'll hear from Alex Tuck, Pat, who led the way. The offense now, the last two games, 7 goals and 6 goals. No surprise, 2 victories.
That was a big third period from Tuck for a lot of reasons. He took the penalty when it was 4-2 that could have allowed Chicago back into this game.
Chicago scores there. It's 4-3. And everyone in the building is having these uh-oh, here we go again moments, and maybe the team itself too.
And instead, after the Sabres kill the penalty, immediately out of the penalty box, Tuck goes down, scores the goal. Soderblom should have had it, but it's something we talk about a lot. Sometimes you have to create your own luck. And on a night where Chicago is one of the worst teams in the league and you have an opportunity, garbage goals count the same as perfect shots to the top corner. So that's a goal the Sabres needed, and from that point on, I feel like they were able to have that exhale of, it's not the, oh no, here we go again. It's the, okay, we have this game in control. We've been in control all night long. Now let's finish the job.
Yeah, and the similarities to the Colorado game were starting to line up, Pat, where you and I are sitting here saying, what is going on? It was 4-0 after 1 against Colorado. It was 4-0 after 1 tonight. 4-1 after 2 against Colorado. 4-1 after 2 here tonight. And then Colorado got that real early goal in the third, and the building got nervous. And guess what? Chicago did the same thing here. And then right away, the power play that you just mentioned. So, yeah, Tuck comes through with 2 more after that to get his hat trick. Chicago not at the level of Colorado. I know Paul made that point at the end of the first. So I think that's fair to make also, too. The Sabres did take advantage of some things going in their favor. Being home, Dan mentioned it at the end of the broadcast, Chicago had to travel this morning. So some logistical things and just some talent differential, you know, should have gone Buffalo's way. They took advantage of it.
They should.
Yes.
During the 13-game losing streak, they did not. So maybe this is the opportunity. You learn from your mistakes, and you don't want to harp on, you know, all the bad that's happened, but there's been so many things that have gone wrong for this team over the previous 13 games before the win against the Islanders. There's only one win, but it's the ability to close this one out, get the victory, and now go on the road where you've got an opportunity here. St. Louis, they're okay, but
they're out of the playoffs right now.
Maybe you're equal. So then you can start talking about maybe building a streak here. And if you'd have allowed Chicago to get back into this game, then we're not talking about that. So credit to the Sabres.
Yeah. Paul and I in pregame had mentioned, like, well, what's it really going to take to get Buffalo legitimately back in this? Or maybe at least have that locker room believing like they're back in it. Paul's like, you might have to win 7 in a row here. Well, you've got 2. They've never won more than 3 in a row here for seasons on end. But the schedule, you know, after St. Louis, it does get more difficult. You've got Dallas and Vegas and Colorado in there, but the Sabres seem to be able to play well against the better teams when they're on their game, and they also can play really bad against the bad teams too. So a lot of this really just hinges on them and playing the right way. And beyond the fact that they've scored 13 goals, Pat, in these 2 wins, the defense, something that Paul mentioned in his keys, has also been better.
It really has, and Rasmus Dahlin, no coincidence. He just feels like he's as healthy as he's been. Maybe that's certainly a key to this team. He's a top defenseman in the league when he's on his game. So having him back, having him healthy, and allowing the defense to kind of settle out, you're seeing everybody else play their roles on this team as well. And I feel like from the defensive side of things, you've had everybody contributing.
And you know, I wouldn't say they're secondary scorers, but it's the second line contributing. Cousins and Quinn both end up with second and third star honors in this game, respectively, tonight. And those guys are going to have to produce. We talked about it during the second intermission. I think for this team to have any chance to get themselves back going, it's going to come down to the fact that they're going to need more than just Thompson's line contributing. And Cousins and Quinn, to me, come right at the top of that list.
And Jack Quinn hits the post late in the third period, so he even had more chances. Again, it's not just, okay, we're up 6-2. Let's just get this one into the barn. It's let's continue to press, because you can't take your foot off and play defense the rest of the night. So, again, a lot of good signs for the Sabres team. And even during the losing streak, I know there was a lot of poor things that happened, but there were signs like Quinn with his two goals against Toronto.
Now let's go down to the room. Alex Tuck up first with Paul.
Alex, so it seemed like it might have been the third game in a row where you guys played so well defending, but you were able to feed your offense by defending very well, weren't you?
Yeah, no, I thought only giving them two shots in the first period, I think, showed us our willingness to play good defense, to get pucks in, to not make mistakes that we've been prone to make during that 13-game losing streak. And we're really trying to move on and be a better team from it. Thought we had a really good game against the Islanders there. And the offense came because we were playing really good defense. And tonight, scoring four in the first period and only giving up two shots, I think is huge kind of boost to the team.
You had a bunch of chances. I mean, to get three tonight, especially coming out of the break, betting on momentum that you guys really established in Long Island. What did that mean to you?
Yeah, no, I mean, it felt really good. But like I said, I thought we had a really good team effort. It was awesome. A lot of guys played really well. Playing that defense first is going to cause us to get some turnovers and some odd man rushes, which we were able to capitalize on tonight, and it was good. I think it was our key to our game tonight.
You guys get the penalty kill, and then you score coming out of the box there. How big was that to kind of just calm everything down and get everybody back on point?
Yeah, it was a huge kill. Honestly, that's a really bad penalty on my part. They're only down by a couple goals there. If they get a power play goal, they're down by one, and letting them back into the game definitely is not something I want to do. So it was a tough penalty on my part, but great kill. And I was lucky enough to capitalize on a little breakdown at the end of the penalty killer.
This morning, Rasmus told me this is the best he's felt all year. He really feels good, you know, physically. What does that mean to you guys, just the way he's played now, because he does feel so well, so good right now?
Well, that's great. I'm glad.
But, I mean, just the way he's been playing the last couple of games.
No, he's been playing unbelievable. I mean, he's really able to control the pace of play. He makes it really hard on their entire team. I mean, I know he might be looking like he's going one-on-one up top, but he's making the other team's defenseman panic when he's beating that guy and then coming down and then putting pressure on guys. And defensively, I think he's been really good too. He's been solid, not giving up anything, honestly, and it's been really fun to play with him. I mean, he's our leader. He's the guy that's going to propel us forward into playing the right way, and he's been leading by example. It's been great to see.
Alex, this might have been the best crowd you guys have had all year. They announced it as a sellout. Just what did you think of the environment in here tonight?
It's great. It's awesome. I'm glad we were able to get a win and get a lot of goals for him too. I heard him chanting for seven, so that's always a good sign when they're asking for more. But no, I mean, it's been a tough road the last couple months for us, and to see the crowd and the city stick with us, I think is huge. So that really meant a lot to all of us, and hopefully there'll be a lot more wins in this building going forward.
Excellent. Going off of that, I believe this is your first hat trick as a Sabre here at KeyBank Center. How special is that to get that moment in front of these fans, the way you were just talking about?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, scoring, I think this is my first goal in this building in several months, so that was even a little monkey off the back there. That felt really good. So to do it in front of the home crowd is that much more special, and it was great to get the win in front of them.
Thank you, Alex. Alex Tuck on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, Tuck with goals, 10, 11, and 12 on the season. He gets the hat trick, third of his career, and we go right back to the room. Here's Dylan Cousins live.
Dylan, to get a victory like that, just the way you guys did. We talked at the end of the first period, and you guys continued to, once again, feed your offense off your defense. And that seems to be when you guys are playing well, that's what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we can't be cheating for offense. We just got to, you know, let them make mistakes and then transition quick. And that's when we're at our best, when we're moving quick in transition and attacking off the rush. And, you know, I think we did a good job of that today.
What was the key for you guys to get off such a good start? This is always a tricky game coming out of the break. What do you think really allowed you guys just pick up where you left off, honestly?
Yeah, I'm not trying to do too much off the start, obviously. You don't want to give them anything. And, you know, they obviously had a little harder with the travel this morning, so we knew that. And we just go out there and start off simple and, you know, just see what happens. And you know, we did a good job.
They had a bit of a push, but what allowed you guys to close it out late?
Yeah, we let them back in a little bit. And I don't think we got nervous. You know, we've got nervous in the past and started to sit back a little bit and feel the pressure. But we talked a lot on the bench. We didn't get down. We just kept pushing. And that's something we've learned. That's really important for us.
Did you just get the momentum from the penalty kill there? Because you got a penalty right away. You guys killed it and then scored right away after you killed it.
Yeah, that was a huge penalty kill. Obviously, if they score there, it's a way different game. So for us to go out and kill, that was big. And then, you know, to get another goal, it's a great goal by Tucky there to kind of give us a little more breathing room.
You guys as a line, you, Jack, and JJ, what's allowed you to really get back to playing your game here this last little bit?
Yeah, I think, you know, playing with those two guys, it's so easy. I know where they're always going to be. They know where the other guys are going to be. So, you know, we just got to keep playing good defense and, you know, not cheating for offense. And we'll get those transitions. We'll get those turnovers and go the other way with it. I think we're at our best when we're on the rush. So we can't try and force it, though.
When Jack's having a stretch like this, what stands out in this game?
Just his confidence with the puck. You know, he's such a great player, and you know, he's got such a great shot. So when he has that confidence, he's an unbelievable player, and it's so fun to play with him. And he's so smart, and you know, he's great at finishing. So yeah, it's good.
Darlene told me this morning this is the best he's felt all year physically. He said he feels great, and whether he's playing defensively or offensively, you can almost see it out there, can't you, the last couple of games?
Yeah, for sure. He's been great lately, and I think just watching those games where he was hurt, he you know, really motivated him to get back out there and dominate and lead this team, and he's been doing that since he's been back. So you know, that's a great version of Dahls that we love to see, and you know, he's been great.
Thanks, Dylan. Yep. Dylan Cousins on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Thank you, Paul. Dylan Cousins set up Quinn to make it 3-0, and then Quinn set up Cousins to make it a 4-0 game. That was the score at the end of the first period. Chicago scored one in the second to make it 4-1, and then after Seth Jones scored early in the third for the Hawks to make it a 4-2 game, that key penalty kill that the players were talking about, they're able to kill it off. Tuck scores twice with his 11th and 12th, and Buffalo goes on to win it by a score of 6-2. Still to come, we're going to have Lindy Ruff's post-game comments here coming up at any moment. As soon as he steps into the media room, we'll take you there live, and we'll still get you some more highlights, update you on the standings. Where are the Sabres now after wins over the Islanders and the Blackhawks? We'll update you on that here coming up shortly. Some more stats here, though. Final stats brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Shots in the third period were 13-7 Buffalo. It ends up 35-17, so more than a 2-1 ratio in favor of the Sabres. In net, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen gets the win. He had a quiet night, 15 saves, 17 shots. Peter Mrazek, the loss. He played just the first period, let in 4. Arvid Soderblom took over, played the second and the third. He let in 2 on 24 shots on goal. Power plays in the game, kind of a non-story, although that penalty kill, as we mentioned, was big for the Sabres' early third. Both teams 0-for-1. That's your Dynabrade.com power play update, powered by Dynabrade Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. Individually, Zach Benson led the way with 6 shots. He had 6 of the Buffalo 35. Jack Quinn had 7 shot attempts to lead all Sabres in that category. But multiple players with multiple points tonight. Quinn had 2 points, a goal and an assist. Cousins had 2 points, a goal and an assist. Darlene had 2 points, 2 assists. Tuck had 3 points with 3 goals. Paterka, Darlene, and Bo Byram were all plus 3s in the game as the Sabres end up with a 6-2 victory. And they'll try to make it 3 in a row coming up on Sunday. Just a programming note for all of you listening in Buffalo. On our normal flagship WGR, we will have Bills Jets play-by-play at that time on Sunday at 3. So we will be on the Bet 1520 for Sabres Blues coverage at 3 o'clock with the Steve Foley Law pregame starting at 2. Again, Lindy Ruff here coming up in a moment. If you're listening in your car on your way home from KeyBank Center, you were amongst the sellout tonight, 19,070. A sellout crowd here announced at KeyBank Center. And we appreciate your listening. Your drive home from the game is brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, with you for the extra mile. All right, while we wait for Lindy, let's see what the win does in the standings for the Sabres. Buffalo now through 36 games, 13-19-4. Good for 30 points. They are now tied with Detroit. The Wings lost at home tonight to Toronto. And now the Sabres, after winning a couple here, maybe have an opportunity to start to pass some of these teams. They've got a lot of teams to pass if they're going to go catch Ottawa, who at the moment is the top wild card. Okay, also, just a programming note, the Sunday game in Buffalo will be on News Radio 930 WBEN. So just want to, again, make a note of that. It'll be on News Radio 930 WBEN on Sunday, 3 o'clock puck drop, Steve Foley Law pregame at 2. Back to the standings. Sabres and Red Wings are now into a tie with 30 points. Montreal is one better with 31. Canadians were off tonight. Islanders and Rangers have 33. So that's kind of the next group of teams that the Sabres can maybe put their eyes on in terms of passing. Rangers, Islanders, Canadians, Red Wings, they are all, you know, have lost their last games. Philadelphia in front of that has lost their all game. Okay, we've been talking this year. The East is there for the taking. If you want to be just even semi above 500, you're going to be in the playoffs. Right now, Ottawa has played 34 games and has 38 points. They're the last team in. That's a 5.59 points percentage. So you don't really have to be that much better than just a 500 team in order to make the playoffs in the East. So it's a down year in the East in terms of what maybe the projected number may be to make the postseason. So, I mean, is it over for the Sabres? Well, I mean, mathematically, it would say it's very, very a long shot, but they've got a long ways to go. All right, Lindy Ruff is ready. Let's take you there live.
Your offense, which helped you? You know, we came out real solid. Did a lot of good things with the puck early on, and I know we didn't have a lot of shots early on, but we didn't give up anything, and I thought our attention to detail defending was good.
Encouraging to really see the Cousins and Kulik lines producing offensively to give you some secondary scoring.
Yeah, I think you look at those lines now, they seem to be gaining a little bit of traction when it comes to plays up ice and spreading the zone out, playing on a bigger piece of ice. And I know they gave us quite a few, you know, rush opportunities, which I thought we took advantage of. But it's great to get the scoring from where we're getting it.
How happy are you for Alex? That, you know, he's had a tough go at home recently, and just to have a night like this, how happy are you for him?
Real happy. I mean, you get some opportunities, and obviously our playing at home here hasn't been what we like. So for him to get three and crowd have a great night was, I thought for him. He's got to feel good about that, and it should help propel his game too.
Coach, your team scored 13 goals in the last two games. Talk about some of the adjustments you've made since this one.
Well, you know, I think the Boston game, again, it starts with defense. We played really hard, played really well. We just didn't take advantage of some of the opportunities. You know, tonight the puck went in the net. A couple of the early opportunities, you know, maybe fortunate a couple went through their goaltender, but still we got them there. We made some good plays. We didn't take advantage of some really good opportunities we had, but, you know, scoring 7, scoring 6, not going to happen every night, but it's good to see.
Coach, you were the youngest team in the NHL. How do you keep them focused from day to day? You know, you went through your bumps, the slump, and now two games in a row now you've put on a clinic.
Well, you know, I think we know where we've been at. And now we'd like to turn the corner and turn the page and keep going this direction. So I think the focus, you know, we talked about the focus coming out of the Christmas break, and you don't really know what you're going to get after 3 days off. But I think they just proved that they're ready to come out and play.
You get the penalty kill there at the beginning of the third period, and Alex scores to kind of put things away. How big was that moment?
That was a big moment in the game, obviously. that could have, you know, got them a little bit more momentum. They just finished scoring a goal, and it could have put them back in the hockey game. So to get that kill and get a couple of saves that we got on that kill was, it was an important moment in the game.
It's defensively or offensively, it's obvious Dahlin feels good again, and he said so himself. But what has that meant to your hockey club to get him back feeling good again?
Well, I think it's, there's no surprise. I think this is as good as he's looked all year. These last couple of games, and I think the move to keep him out of the back-to-back game really helped him. And there was a time in the first period where he was just a one-man breakout machine, just kind of took the game in his own hands and said, here, I'm going to lead the way. And I think we all realize what he can do, and that he has been struggling all year with his ailment, and now he's starting to feel real good.
Coach, obviously we see some line reconstruction. Is there more of that to come?
Well, we've kind of kept them the same now for the last three games, which, we'd like to keep it where it's at. But, sometimes it depends on games. With the Greenway injury, the lines got shuffled around, but they've pretty well stayed the same since then.
You mentioned not knowing what you're going to get out of your team coming off 3 days off. Now looking back on the way they performed in this game, especially in the first period, how much of that can you attribute maybe to the confidence they got on Long Island going into the holiday break?
Yeah, I think you can point at that as being something you feel good about going into the break. I think the leadership of the team, we talked about being ready when you come out. Being ready probably means that you've got to get one or two, some type of workout in on your own. And I think they did by the looks of things. I thought our skate this morning was good. I thought our puck movement early in the game, there was, two or three pretty big misses on the passes, but I thought we really calmed down after that.
Thanks.
All right, that is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff as we bring it back up here to the press box. Lindy Ruff's press conference brought to you by Steve Foley Law. If you've been injured, it's time to get serious. Time to call Steve Foley Law. 6-2 Buffalo over Chicago as the Sabres get a win in front of a sellout, 19,070. Buffalo's next set of games will all be on the road. In fact, they're not going to be home again until January 6th. That's a Monday night meeting with the Washington Capitals. The next four games on the road at St. Louis Sunday afternoon at 3. Again, that game on News Radio 930 WBEN in the Buffalo area. New Year's Eve night in Dallas at 8. January 2nd at Colorado at 9. And then January 4th on a Saturday night in Vegas at 10 against the Golden Knights. And then they'll come back home for a January 6th meeting with the Washington Capitals. For all of our local affiliate stations, we're going to say goodnight to you at this time. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com, or you can listen in on the Odyssey app. And for all of you on WGR, we have more postgame coming up here from KeyBank Center. Sabres win it by a score of 6-2 over the Chicago Blackhawks. I'm Brian Colzio along with Pat Mollicaro and Paul Hamilton. We'll get Paul's take on the game when we return, some more highlights as well. Coming up next right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Comes Maroon, slides it through, that's deflected right onto Luukkonen, and he makes a stop.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call. Kind of a quieter night for Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. He makes 15 saves on 17 shots. That one right there is our save of the game, brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. 6-2 Buffalo, third career hat trick for Alex Tuck. He gets number 10, 11, and 12 on the season. And Lindy Ruff pointed it out. He said, there's that moment. And I'll be the first up here to say it. I said, uh-oh. Chicago scored to make it 4-2, and then Tuck took the penalty. And I'm sitting here saying, it could be 4-3 with almost an entire...
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Entire period here to go. That was a key moment. Lindy Ruff talked about it. Let's talk about it with Paul Hamilton as we go down to the Sabres dressing room or the Sabres media room. Paul, before we start talking about the offense tonight, how about just that moment right there? It could have gotten a little interesting, but the penalty kill comes through, and then Tuck immediately gets it back to a three-goal lead.
Yeah, that was huge. If it becomes 4-3, all bets are off again, and we're thinking of the Colorado game again. Some people were thinking about it even before that. But they had to kill that penalty and did a great job. You know, and it was like they just – it's what they do. Chicago scores to make it, three or 4-2. And what did it take? 22 seconds for the Sabres to take a penalty. It's just what they do. And it's like, here comes the power play goal to make it 4-3. Now all bets are off. But to their credit, a very good penalty kill. You know, Lukanen made a couple of big saves, a good kill. Not only do they kill it, Alex Tuck comes out of the penalty box, and he wasn't happy he took that penalty. Just 20 seconds after he comes out of the penalty box, he scores. And that's what good players do. When they make a mistake and are upset with themselves for making a mistake, they make up for it. And that was his second goal of the game. Later on, he steals the puck, goes in and gets the hat trick. And, it had been a while since he had scored here in this building. Something like 1-12 games, or it was something on that line. And it had been a while since the Buffalo Sabres had won in this building, to be quite honest. That turned the tide, that this game could have totally gone south right then and there, like it did against Colorado. But they were able to really come up big on that penalty kill and win the hockey game.
Yep. Paul, beyond Tuck's big night, Cousins and Quinn really fed off each other. That line, Lindy Ruff made a mention of saying that it's, quote, gaining traction. What did you think of that line tonight with Cousins and Quinn and Paterka?
I liked it. Quinn is starting to get his confidence back. He's starting to, work his way to get good shots. He hit a post late in the game, but that was all because he worked his way around the slot and was able to get the shot off. Look at the goal he scored in Long Island. Look at this goal he scored in this game, just ripping it. But not only is he ripping it, he's getting himself in position to score goals. And that's the big thing right there. Just get yourself in position to score goals, and it's starting to come for him. It's starting to come for Cousins a little bit. Came into the game with 10 points in 15 games. Now he has 12 points in 16 games. So now that's starting to come for him. With Paterka on the line, Paterka extended his point streak. I'm going by memory. I believe it's 6 games now. He's also started to get hot too, which will help because he went a while without scoring a goal or without having a point. And, he really gets down when that happens. He gets down on himself. And that's something as a young player. It was a 5-game point streak, now 6-game point streak with 2 goals and 6 assists for 8 points. So, it's just, they're starting to heat up a little bit. But, I want to caution, it's only 2 games, but give them credit. For 3 straight games now, they've played excellent in their own end. They've done an excellent job of killing plays. Tonight, really, to kill plays, and they were off and going, really got into transition fast. And with that speed coming up ice, the Blackhawks, they would back off. They would back off the blue line. So that now they've gained the blue line because of the speed coming at the Blackhawks. And, it was just – now that's 3 straight games where they've defended well. They've won 2 of them. They had an opportunity to win the other one. It was 1-1 with a minute. Boston didn't score the game-winning goal until there was, 1:45 left to go in the game.
Correct.
So, it's we'll see where it goes from here as they head to the road with the next game in St. Louis on Sunday.
Paul, these 2 wins have both come with Rasmus Dahlin being back, and he told you that he feels as good as ever. A healthy Dahlin playing at an all-star level, I know you always say if the Sabres have any chance to make the playoffs, they need their best player to be their best player, and Dahlin had not been playing like that for this season, and we know why. Now healthy for these last two games, I guess it all makes sense as to why we're seeing the best from number 26 here in these last two outings.
And even the Toronto game, I liked him, you know, and they had planned on not playing him in the Boston game. So in the three games he's played since returning from injury, you know, obviously he said it, but we could just see it. If you watch the way he's been playing, you could just see it. How well defensively he's playing, how well offensively he's playing. He's moving very fluidly on the ice. He's playing with speed. He's killing plays, doing everything that the all-star Rasmus Dahlin should be doing. And again, it was just very obvious once we found out that it was back spasms why he had not been playing well throughout the season. And now that they're gone and he feels better, the last three games have been Rasmus Dahlin games.
Yeah, Dahlin healthy. The only injury for the Sabres right now is Jordan Greenway. Dahlin tonight, 2 assists, a plus three, 21-17 of ice time, 4 shot attempts, and 2 hits and a block shot. So a nice night for the Sabre captain. And we'll make that our injury report brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at Catholic Health St. Joseph Campus. Go with Joes. Okay, Paul, from here now, 4 straight road games on paper. The Blues game, in terms of where they are in the standings, is the easiest one. That's what will be up front coming up on Sunday afternoon. Colorado, Dallas, Vegas coming up as well. So there's some of the better teams in the West that will be coming up on this trip.
Yeah, and just play your game. I mean, how many times have we said this? When they play the way they're capable of playing, they are a good hockey team. They really are. When they play that way, but they don't do it enough, and that's where the consistency has to come in, and they just have to keep playing defensively the way they're playing. If they do that, the offense will come. There's no question about it. We've seen it. They've proven it the last couple of games. It didn't against Boston, but that's the first game where they did play well defensively, and they were really, really concentrating on that more than offense. Well, they added the offense to the game against the Islanders and here against Chicago. And so now that's the way they have to play. When they play that way, they are a good hockey team. And you don't see panic in their game. You see them moving forward, 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 not back, 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 not uh-oh. You know, even today. Today could have been an uh-oh at 4-2 and you take a penalty. That could have been a huge uh-oh. But it wasn't. They were able to kill it with confidence, and then come back and score immediately afterwards.
Paul Leavell, the team will leave tomorrow for St. Louis, correct?
Yeah, they'll practice here, and then they'll leave for St. Louis afterwards.
Great. Thanks for that, and we appreciate all your work tonight. We will talk to you Sunday with the Sabres and the Blues.
Sounds good. Talk to you then.
Okay, great. Paul Hamilton with us here on the postgame. Again, for all of you listening in the Buffalo area, just a programming note, due to the Bills-Jets coverage on our normal flagship, which is where you're listening right now on WGR. Bills, Jets will be there Sunday, so we'll have the Sabres and the Blues at 3 o'clock on News Radio 930 WBEN with the Steve Foley Law pregame starting at 2. And then, of course, we'll get you off for the first of that four-game road trip. So it's St. Louis on Sunday at 3, then on New Year's Eve night in Dallas at 8, and then to start 2025, January 2nd in Colorado on Thursday at 9, and then a week from Saturday, Vegas at 10 o'clock. All those road games. Buffalo's next home game will be on January 6th against the Washington Capitals. That's a Monday night game. All right, 6-2, Sabres win it. Let's see what happened elsewhere in the league tonight. We bring back Pat Mullicaro to take us around the NHL.
Thanks, Brian. It's brought to you by Thiegel, Carr, and Joshua. Your Border Attorneys will start in the city where Buffalo will next be on Sunday afternoon. St. Louis tonight in action against Nashville. They lead the Predators 5-3, 8 different goal scores in that contest. Robert Thomas is 7th of the season. Jordan Kyrou is 15th for St. Louis. On the other side of things, Steven Stamkos has 11th of the year for Nashville so far in a losing effort. 17 minutes to go in the third period in Dallas with the Stars leading the Wild 2-0. They're scoreless less than 10 minutes in Utah tonight, where the Hockey Club and Avalanche are scoreless in the first period. Also 10:30 tonight, the final game of the evening gets underway in San Jose, where the Sharks welcome in Jack Eichel and the Golden Knights. Finals from earlier on tonight. Mitch Marner with his second career natural hat trick leads the Maple Leafs to a 5-2 win over Detroit. That was the first head coaching assignment for Todd McClellan tonight in a losing effort for the Red Wings. Devils double up the Hurricanes 4-2, while Columbus trounces Boston 6-2 this evening. Also, the Rochester Americans in the AHL storm from behind 4 goals in the third period, defeat the Utica Comets 6-3 this evening. And a couple of notes from the World Junior Championships today. Sweden, an 8-1 victory over Kazakhstan. Sabres' second-round pick in 2023, Anton Wahlberg. A couple of goals to assist as well in that contest. Other finals saw Slovakia defeat Switzerland 2-1. Finland 3-1 winners over Germany. And they're still going between Canada and Latvia, tied at 2 in the third period. So the host country of Canada, the games in the World Juniors this year taking place in Ottawa. And the host Canada, with just about 19 minutes to go in the third period, still tied at 2 with Latvia. And Brian, also one note from the world of broadcasting today, as CBS Sports earlier tonight acknowledged the passing of Greg Gumbel, his family putting out a statement saying the longtime CBS Sports broadcaster passing away from a lengthy bout with cancer. Greg Gumbel, dead at the age of 78, Brian.
He called many Bills games, a lot of them on CBS, and distinct voice for sure, hosted the NCAA tournament on CBS for many, many years. So a voice that's familiar to us here for sure.
Yeah, a lot of tributes being paid on social media from colleagues across the spectrum of sports broadcasting. And many of them, I've never personally had the chance to meet Greg Gumbel, but saying as good of a broadcaster he was, humility, and as good of a person he was off the mic as well. So someone that will be sorely missed in the world of sports broadcasting.
Yeah. A couple of other injury things I want to pass along. You mentioned some of the games. Let's start at the World Juniors, Pat. One of the top players that may go in next year's draft for Team Canada, Matthew Schaefer, left the game that you mentioned here tonight, did not return. Some people are saying it could be a shoulder injury, but that's a player that, again, a lot of time between now and next June's draft, but some people are saying he could go even as high as number one overall next year.
Yeah, so, you know, the World Juniors, an opportunity for players to, you know, display their talents. And, you know, for Canada right now, missing one of their top forwards and top goal scorers. So we'll see how the tournament plays out. But, injuries can be such a part of the game as well. And, hopefully just a short term, maybe leaving the game as a precaution, and still a lot of tournament left to go.
Yeah, so we'll keep an eye there. Again, Schaefer hurt. Also, Montreal. There was an injury update with Patrick Laine, but it looks as though he's going to be back to possibly get him back from his latest injury. So we're not quite sure, what Montreal is. We know he was big in that win that Montreal had over the Sabres, just about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
but
they're
not quite sure how they're going to get him back at injury.
He's only played a handful of games this season, missed a bulk of the start of the year. But when he has been on the ice, he has been a power play specialist for the Canadiens, and a reason why their offense has really been clicking.
Yeah, so for a couple of for the Canadiens listening out there, the Team Canada and the Canadiens have a couple of big-time injuries for sure. I mean, as we think about when the World Juniors were here, Pat, I know you and I were here for both times that it was here. The first time, in terms of the crowd and the anticipation.
Off the charts.
It was wild. It really was. The second time through, maybe not as high. You did have the outdoor game connected to that, which was a really, really cool moment between the United States and Canada. I feel like I'll remember that moment for the second time through going forward.
Yeah, and for myself, I was on my way to New York City to be part of our broadcast for the Sabres outdoor game. So I did
at
not
Citi Field,
yeah,
right? Yeah.
So I did not see the U.S. outdoor game at the stadium in Orchard Park. But it was different because for so many years, we started to talk about prospects, and really the height of, I think, Sabre prospect watching was really during that first World Juniors. There were so many Sabre prospects taking part in it as well. I mean, how could you also forget? Canada was in the gold medal game against Russia.
Big lead.
Blow the lead. I mean, that's one thing I'll never forget, is the atmosphere was off the charts for that tournament here for a lot of reasons. But then the way that the building just got silent, and how Russia was able to come back, win that game, and in a building where we've seen a lot of memorable moments in Sabres' recent history, that's one thing I won't forget. And then, you know, you talk about the World Juniors that were here in 2017 going into 2018. Casey Mittelstadt, a part of that team.
Yeah, he was excellent in that tournament.
They wore, because of the Bills colors, they wore basically Bills-themed jerseys on the ice, right? I mean,
for that outdoor game?
For the
yeah.
outdoor game. So there were a lot of connections and synergies between Sabre fans, and not just the fact that the games were here, but really the embrace of Team USA of the outdoor atmosphere in Orchard Park.
Six Sabre prospects are participating this year in the World Juniors that are in Ottawa that began yesterday. Consta Hellenius, maybe one that fans were going to want to see. That was Buffalo's first-round draft pick this past summer. He's playing for Finland. And also, his teammate from Rochester, Anton Wahlberg, also playing for Sweden for the second straight year. So those are two of the headliners if you're looking for games to watch. The great part about it, too, is that there's games like late morning, early afternoon, and all day. That's the part that I love, always loved about coming down here for like an 11 a.m. game or a 1 o'clock game. That's always fun.
Memory can be a fleeting thing, but if I'm not mistaken, the first time around, a couple of those secondary games, if you will, took place up at Niagara University at Dwyer Arena. Mm-hmm. But the second time around, because Harbor Center was it wasn't built at that point. It was still a parking lot in 2011. By 2018, you had Harbor Center, beautiful building across the street, and that hosted a couple of those other games. When you had multiple games going on at the same time, you have to have that secondary rink. And I believe they were just right across the street at Harbor Center.
That's right. Yeah, it was between KeyBank Center and Harbor Center back in 2018. And then you're right. Those first time it was ended up at Niagara. The second time it was here, Canada ended up beating Sweden in the championship game. The United States beat the Czech Republic in the gold medal game. But Casey Mittelstadt led the tournament in scoring that year with 11 points, and he was named the tournament MVP despite not even getting to the gold medal game. So that just shows how good Mittelstadt was in that tournament. And when Mittelstadt was selected by the Sabres, I mean, you know, exciting for fans to know that they had a guy that they remember watching in this World Juniors tournament. And I don't think anybody thought that Mittelstadt in any way wasn't good for the Sabres. In fact, he turned himself on really well here the year that he ended up being traded for Bowen Byram, who obviously now has been flipped here to Buffalo, and Mittelstadt's off for the Avalanche. But yeah, I remember Mittelstadt being at times really dominating in that tournament.
Yeah, and so that was the 2017 after Christmas into 2018. Yep. Mittelstadt had just been drafted by the Sabres the previous June, if I'm not mistaken, of the 17 draft. So he would have been part of the organization, just not signed at that point, still in college.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. We'll wonder if Buffalo will get it again. I think it's going to be a while. There's other sites we know in the rotation that, first of all, you know, when the U.S. even gets it back, it's not – Canada gets it every other year. Right. We know because of just the outstanding support that it gets. So then when it's in a non-Canada year, there's still obviously all of the European countries that can get it as well.
And if you're an American city in terms of Buffalo, the Sabres would have to be on the road for an extended period of time. Now, West Coast trips and here and there, and even the Sabres, I think 2011 had a home game, like because of the tournament being so spread out, they were able to play a home game in the middle of it. But by and large, you'd have to be on the road for about a week and a half, almost 2 weeks, in order to host the tournament properly.
It almost sets up that they could. I mean, you know, they weren't going to get it this year, obviously, but this year, minus tonight, the Sabres now won't return home until January 6th. So that could have, like, you know. It doesn't seem impossible. Like, oh, they're heading off to a four-game road trip here out west. Like, that's just kind of what you do at some point during the season. So, you know, had tonight's game been a road game, essentially the arena could have been available. We know there's a Bandits game here tomorrow and all that sort of stuff. But, yeah, I have some friends that are doing the triple header path this weekend. Sabres game tonight, Bandits game tomorrow. By the way, don't forget, Bandits are raising the banner tomorrow, Pat, for their back-to-back championships.
6:30 face-off.
Yeah, should be really, really great atmosphere. It always is for Bandits games. And then, of course, the
Sold
Bills.
Out.
Yeah, Bills home Sunday, so could be three consecutive home games with three sellouts. Sellout here, sellout tomorrow for the Bandits, and then the Bills Jets on Sunday.
A little rainy, so make sure you're dressed properly on Sunday in the elements.
But
in Orchard Park.
Mid-50s.
That's true.
I would sign up for bringing a poncho for it to be mid-50s versus what it was, last week when it was 8.
Yeah, I remember I was field level for the Bills' Monday night game against New England a couple of years back when the winds were swirling and there were a handful of pass attempts the entire game. I'd sign up for rain over that any day.
For sure. Thank you, Pat.
Thanks, Brian.
Sabres with a nice win tonight. 13 goals in their last two games, yet afterwards, what did Lindy Ruff and the players talk about? Why is the success coming these last two games? Well, they started with talking about defense and then how it's leading to their offense. So even in the loss in Boston, that was a recipe there that night where maybe just the goals wouldn't go in for you. And Lindy Ruff said, look, you're going to get 7-6. It's amazing, but it's not going to happen every night. But if they can continue to play with that defensive-first mentality, I think it can lead to the offense. And with the Sabres' speed and transition game, and especially with a healthy Rasmus Dahlin who can help with that transition game, I think, you know, they can obviously use this recipe to try to go forward. Now, they have a huge hole to dig out of. There's no doubt about it. Paul said it at the end here, too. That 13-game winless streak is going to be biting you for a long, long time. There's got to be win streaks and multiple win streaks. And you've got to, you know, we saw Ottawa go from basically the bottom almost into a wild card spot where they are right now. They had a 7-game win streak. They've 8-2 in their last 10. If Buffalo can go 8-2 here in this stretch of their next 10, well, they'll probably be close to being back in it. And then if you can get another 5 or 6-game win streak, you know, close after that, well, then maybe you are going to be back in it. But they have a long ways to go here. But I do like at least what I'm seeing from the team here over these last 3 games. They do have a very tough road trip upcoming after St. Louis. 3 very good teams in the West, Dallas, Colorado, and Vegas. And, of course, we'll have all those games for you right here on the Sabres Radio Network. But don't forget, again, Sunday's game, 3 o'clock with the Steve Foley Law pregame at 2 will be on News Radio 930 WBEN because of the Bills and Jets on our normal flagship WGR. Okay, hope everybody's got that all straightened out. And with that, we're going to say goodbye to you here from KeyBank Center. We want to thank our crew back in our studios, our network producers tonight, Trevor Hauer and TJ Luckman. Thank you, gentlemen, for your work tonight. Tom Matty, of course, our grade A, outstanding engineer, always on site. Thank you, Tom. Mike Shope was on the pregame, and also our crew up here producing, anchoring. You heard from them, Paul Hamilton, Pat Mullicaro, Jonathan Colziel as well up here producing. And for Dan Dunleavy, Rob Ray, Mike Shope on the pregame, I'm Brian Colziel. Thank you again for listening. Sabres win it 6-2 over Chicago. Enjoy your Saturday, and I'll talk to you Sunday with the Sabres in St. Louis right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.